Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all persons. Talk with Trinity is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, LLC, located in Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC, 28206. And 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. Just want to have a word of prayer as we go into our session this morning. We just want to thank God for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank God for an opportunity to have his wisdom, knowledge, and instruction through the lessons that we learned through our broadcast. We just thank God for giving us safe travels. In Jesus' name. This morning, April is Alcohol Awareness Month. Each April since 1987, the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence has sponsored Alcohol Awareness Month to increase public awareness and understanding, reduce stigma, and encourage local communities to focus on alcoholism and alcohol-related issues. Today, we will be sharing with Latrina Kelly James, Executive Director of Charlotte-Mecklenburg County Drug-Free Coalition, with focus on events that are planned for Alcohol Awareness Month, and we're just going to allow her to do her introduction. Go ahead, Latrina.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me. So again, my name is Latrina Kelly James. I'm Executive Director with Charlotte-Mecklenburg Drug-Free Coalition. We are a coalition of about 40 organizations throughout the county, and our mission is really to focus on data-driven awareness, knowledge-based action, and advocacy to reduce the impacts of alcohol and other drug use on youth, families, and the community. I have been with the coalition for a little over a year, and our focus has been really on environmental factors that cause youth to use substances, including alcohol, marijuana, and other drugs, including prescription drugs. And we focus, have worked in the community with youth to begin to decrease perceptions of risk around use of substances and to really push prevention as a key to preventing binge use and addiction of substances. And so I'm really glad to be here today to talk about Alcohol Awareness Month and talk about some of the campaigns we have coming up and just to talk about in general about alcohol and youth in our community here in Charlotte. So thank you so much, Melissa, for having me today. I'll talk a little bit, I guess, about some of the campaigns we have coming up. Our focus for the last year has really been looking at what are the environmental factors that are causing youth to have really low perceptions of risk. They don't see a lot of harm around alcohol. And we know that a lot of times there's access at home. Parents may drink casually and children may see it as not a risk. There may be alcohol close in the home where children have access to it. But also we're looking at what are the factors in our community that are really impacting youth perceptions around alcohol. And so one of the campaigns that we've launched, sort of done a soft launch, but are really launching this month, is called Two Posts for Comfort. And this campaign came out of a lot of discussions that we've had as a coalition about alcohol advertising here in Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. For instance, if you go into a grocery store, beer and wine may be right there in a Walmart near the milk. Or there have been times, and I'm very new to Charlotte. I've only been here about 2 years. And so it was interesting for me when I walked into Walmart and would see things like bottles of wine or placements of wine near diapers and wipes, to the point where my then one-year-old was able, as I'm getting diapers, to sort of reach out of the basket and try to grab a bottle of wine. Doesn't look so good. Ways that alcohol are placed in our community, we're looking at what are those factors that can cause youth to decide that it's not a risk. So Too Close for Comfort is a photo campaign that we're launching, and we're asking people in the community, wherever they are, if they're at the bus stop and they see a huge advertisement for alcohol on a bus, to snap a photo of it and put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, and hashtag it, Too Close for Comfort, CLC. And we really want to get a sense and start telling a story about how alcohol culture and advertising is really, really prevalent here in our community. So we're urging people, you can go on our Facebook page and look at some of the snapshots people have taken in grocery stores, in Walmart, Targets, and different places like that. And it's a photo story. We want to start telling the story about our advertising culture here in Charlotte so that we can shift policy and look at how we can change the way it's advertised here in our county, because it is a risk. And I think that kids, you know, it becomes normalcy here for us. To think about how alcohol is placed within our communities. So we're urging people to really join us on this campaign as we start to tell the story about advertising here in our county. Some of the other things that we're doing, we are starting what we call Talk It Up, Lock It Up campaign. And this is the campaign for parents to pledge to talk to their kids about alcohol in the home and to also lock up their alcohol at home. Because we know it's very easy. Parents aren't always paying attention. We have really busy lives. Kids can, you know, take a sip, you know, of anything. So it's a pledge campaign that we're starting for parents to pledge to lock up their alcohol and to talk to their kids about underage drinking. We'll be going to different fairs and events where parents are and talking to parents about alcohol use and underage drinking and getting them to pledge and giving them some tips and tools on how to talk to their kids about alcohol. Some of the tips include things like talking to them about just the effects on their lives. There's tons of effects that it has on the adolescent brain of using alcohol, and talking to them about just what their goals are as a young person, and that their goals can be shattered if they start drinking alcohol, that it stirs them in bad directions. And simple tools like when to talk to your kids. So it could be anything, you know, in the car, on the way to school, or coming home from basketball practice, while you're helping them unload the dishwasher, things like that. Just, you know, really simple ways to just start talking to your kids really casually about it, so that it isn't, you know, that conversation, the one conversation that you have with your child. It's really an ongoing discussion and conversation in your home about being responsible. So those are the two really big campaigns that we have going on for Alcohol Awareness Month. And a lot of our partners are doing a lot of great work around Alcohol Awareness Month. So Teen Health Connection, for example, is doing a big picture where they have their youth who are performing theater around substance use. And so we urge you to support Teen Health Connection. Also, they're one of our organizations within the coalition. You know, we have ongoing campaigns, not just for Alcohol Awareness Month, but our Preventing Underage Drinking initiative is focused on retail outlets. And we're starting that campaign also where we're going to be looking at retail outlets around the universities to see if they're checking IDs and making sure that they're not selling to underage youth. And mainly in the college areas, because there's not a lot of data right now around what's going on around the college campuses. And so our focus is going to look at John C. Smith University area, Queens University, and the UNC Charlotte University area. And so we are looking for actually age-tested volunteers, as we call them. And these are people who look like they're under 21, but they're over 21. And they go into retail outlets and try to purchase alcohol and see if they're carded by the cashier or retail seller. If people are interested in volunteering for our underage drinking initiative, you can go to our website. It's drugfreecharlotte.org. So that's what we're working on, and we're really excited about the projects coming up, hoping to really start telling the story about alcohol here in our community and its impact on youth, and really how environmental factors are playing those roles in our communities. We feel it's a very important topic. We've even, the youth that we've been working with and talking to have even addressed it as an issue, that it just feels so normal to them to have alcohol just around them, either at home or just seeing it in stores. It's very normal for them. And so we want to get rid of that social norm, because it does play a role in how kids think about alcohol. If it's as normal as Coke or Gatorade, then that's an issue. and it's something that we need to really tackle as a community. And I think, you know, alcohol culture is it's big here in Charlotte. Just to give you an example, in 2007, there were 5 craft breweries in Charlotte, and there are now 30 craft breweries in Charlotte. And craft breweries are great. You know, it's great economically for the community, but it also creates a culture where there's a ton of acceptability around excessive alcohol use. And so we want to bring more awareness around it and really play down these social norms and change the way we're thinking about alcohol here. So thank you, Melissa, for letting me talk about some of the things that we're working on this month. And in general, because we're not just focused on alcohol awareness month, but this is a really a drive that we're something we're working on long term for here in our community.
Well, I appreciate you for coming on. I've been doing Talk with Trinity, the show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals, and the education portion of it. As a substance abuse counselor, I work on the treatment side. I've worked in the detoxification side, and I've worked in the correction side. And the most consistent thing that I hear with the individuals that come into my program, which is Trinity Counseling Services, and while I was working for Mecklenburg County Substance Abuse Services and Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office in the Work Release Restitution Center, is when we do the assessment for the individuals who come in to our come into any one of the programs, we do a social history or an assessment, or it's called all kinds of things. And one of the questions that we ask is, what is the age in which you first used? And we have to be real specific about the use, because what they'll hear is, one of the things they'll say is, well, what do you mean, you know, did I use? You know, they'll ask like, how of you, you know, or the first.
Right.
No, I asked them, I say, the first time that you ingested anything, whether it be alcohol or marijuana, cocaine. And the most consistent vein that I hear after, you know, clarifying that for them is, oh, well, I got it from my parents, or I got it from my older brother, or I got it from my sister, or, you know, I got it from some individual in my family. And so, and then at that point, they began to defend, you know, how they got it, or, you know, things like that. So when you're going out into these different places and you're talking with the young people, do you hear that also?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, the one thing that we've heard most prevalent is that, you know, they've taken a sip of alcohol, a sip of beer, wine, you know, at a very young age. We participate in the Mecklenburg County Youth Drug Survey. And so in 2015, we did the survey. And the onset of the first time children drank any type of beer or alcohol or wine, the average age is 13. And so, and that's across the board. We surveyed 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th graders, and each one, the average age was 13 that they said that they had their first drink of something. And so that's early. And so coupled with that is the fact that they think their parents would not be very upset if they drank wine or beer casually. And so, and that was about 56% of students felt that their parents think it would be okay if they had a sip of wine or alcohol every now and then. 56% of students thought that it was okay in Mecklenburg County. So definitely, we know that there's factors that are pushing kids towards that first sip of alcohol, which can turn into your first, you know, marijuana, smoke of marijuana, or your first prescription drug. You know, alcohol plays a large role in social culture. And so if we can work with you to prevent that first drink at age 13, if we can get them to start talking to their parents, even about, you know, let's lock this up and get it away from me or my, you know, my little sister or brother, we don't need this around us, then, you know, I think we'll start changing the curve. And, you know, so from your assessments and from our data, it's all the same. It's an early age, and it's very acceptable for people to start drinking at a very early age. And so a large part of our prevention efforts with youth are just to get a sense from them of what their challenges are around it, you know, and they don't have any fear around alcohol use, and they blame a lot of it on just their environment. So we need to change that environment. And so we're working with youth and working with parents to really start to turn that curve so your assessments don't look that way down the road, you know.
With every year, April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and in preparing for this month, it said this year's theme is talk early, talk often, and parents can make a difference in teen alcohol use. And then that is why you're on. That is why we hosted Justin from Anuvia. Mm-hmm. We're going to have another individual that's going to be on later in the month. And then next week mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about alcohol screening day because a lot of times if you have the environment and if you have parents that drink, then mm-hmm. it's almost like, you know, it's an acceptable, well, my parents do it, and I don't really see anything wrong with that. And is that one of the consistent things that you hear as well? Like when you're working with the kids is one thing, but like you said, in working with the parents, what are they thinking about these prevention efforts?
Well, you know, I think it's a little tougher because parents, especially, you know, in here in Mecklenburg County, parents really have a feeling that it's okay to give their kids a casual drink of wine or sip of beer because they're at home and it's just what they call a safe place for their kids. And so I think it is an uphill battle at times to get parents to understand the harmful effects of it and that can turn to alcoholism. But I do think that if we can start to talk to parents about some of the actual brain effects of alcohol, which is one of the tactics that we're going to be using, is just talking about the short-term and long-term effects of alcohol on the adolescent brain. I mean, if you look at what it does to a youth brain, because it's still developing, your brain doesn't stop developing fully until age 25. And so for a 15-year-old who may be drinking casually or binge drinking, it's impaired cognitive function or some short-term effects. That's your memory, your concentration, and your ability to learn. And so if you're in school and you're trying to learn and you're trying to graduate from high school and you're casually drinking, you're messing with your cognitive function. And so we want to take approach it from that angle with parents also, that it's not just a social issue. It's a physical issue. And it really can affect children in the long run. And because their brains are still growing and developing, they're more susceptible to dependency and addiction. The earlier the onset, the more likely they are to have a dependency or addiction later in life. And so if we can start talking to parents from that perspective, we really feel it may be more effective in getting parents to really start talking to their kids about alcohol and to not making it so acceptable at home and socially acceptable in the environments that they're in.
I know that on Monday, the 4th, where they were doing the flags for the number of DWIs in the county, I think I remember him saying that they were passing out locks for the liquor at home. Are you all are doing that as well?
We're not passing out the locks. We are doing having parents pledge to lock up giving out information on tips and tools on how to talk to their kids about alcohol. So we do partner with Anuvia, but they're giving out locks. We're doing a parent pledge campaign around locking up your alcohol.
Oh, okay. And what was our last thing I was going to ask you? Or was there anything else? You were mentioning surveys. Oh, how are people able to connect with you all or ask you to come out to their community groups? Or give a little bit about that.
Sure. If you want us to come out and talk about substance use and youth prevention, you can email us at our email is info at drugfreecharlotte.org, or you can go on our website, drugfreecharlotte.org, or you can give us a call at 980-938-0151 if you're interested in getting involved with the coalition and volunteering, or having us come out and talk to groups of parents, groups of youth, or getting youth involved in prevention. One of the other initiatives that we do have is our Students Preventing and Informing on Drugs and Alcohol with SPIDA. And so we'll be recruiting youth for to volunteer and start to become peer leaders in substance use prevention. So if parents are interested in having their children get involved, they can give us a call or email for more information, or go to our website, which is drugfreecharlotte.org, to find out more. And really, SPIDA focuses on providing youth training around life skills and coping skills, and also training around substance use prevention to give them the tools to start talking to other youth about substance use prevention, and working on some of these campaigns around substance use prevention that we have, Too Close for Comfort campaign, preventing underage drinking, talking to people in the community about how their alcohol advertising and placement. Really good program for our youth. Right now, with that, we're working in two schools, Butler High School and Myers Park High School, and also expanding out to East Mac High School. So we're really excited to work with those schools on some of this work, and excited to get other youth involved. So if parents are interested, they can definitely reach out to us for that. And we're happy to present at any organization or a PTA meeting, church meeting. Just contact us, and we'll definitely get back to you.
One of the other, I know that this is Alcohol Awareness Month, but I thought it very interesting about the 420.
Sure.
I was sharing about that in my group, and it didn't dawn on me until I was like, wait a minute, Charlotte Mecklenburg School System is doing a half day on the quotation holiday, marijuana holiday of the year, which will give kids the opportunity to kind of be free until maybe their parents are planning for them to be off or things like that. Can you just talk a little bit about how that came about? Because I think it's a really good idea that you all are going to have this field day at Freedom Park on that day. So can you share with us about that?
Sure, absolutely. So Take Back 420 came out of a coalition meeting that we had about 2 months ago. We were talking about approaches to marijuana use here in the county, and just talking about youth perceptions of risk around marijuana. And we know with legislation that's legalized marijuana in a lot of states, there's just no risk associated with marijuana at all anymore. And from all of our preventionists at the table and our treatment providers and community members, they said youth just don't care. You know, they think that marijuana is not harmful. They've, you know, looked at some of the, you know, propaganda around it, and they're like, well, you know, if they're legalizing in this state, it doesn't matter if I'm smoking every day. So we thought about what can we do to really push back on this perception around marijuana. And someone said, you know, well, they have this big 420 day, and then, you know, we all started talking about that, and, you know, how kids, you know, even if they don't smoke marijuana, it's a day for them to experiment. And youth have told us this, that even if they don't smoke, they may experiment on that day. And experimentation can turn into use, and it can turn into abuse, right? And then someone said, well, you know, that's a half day, you know, for CMS schools. And we said, oh, are you kidding?
Right.
So our chair said, well, what if we do something on that day to get kids to have to do something positive instead of taking that half day and going to somebody's house or hanging out and deciding to experiment that day? And so that's where this sort of Take Back 420 initiative came from. Looking at ways that we can empower kids to make positive choices on that day, which could turn into positive choices later. And so we decided on doing a field day at Freedom Park. It is on Wednesday, April 20th. It's from 1 to 4:21 p.m. And 4:21 p.m., we chose that time because at 4:20, according to this unofficial culture, is the time that people smoke the most. And so we want kids to be in a really
positive. 420
and 420. There you go.
420 and 420.
It's crazy. We want kids to be in a positive environment. There's going to be games, free food, entertainment, music, some giveaways. And we're just asking kids to come and just take a pledge when they come in to be marijuana free. There'll be information for kids about marijuana and how to, you know, about prevention and also treatment for youth. And we're urging people to come out. If anyone wants to set up tables, you can set up a free table in the area to give out information. And so we're also looking for volunteers to come and work with our youth that day. We just want it to be a day where we can create an environment that is positive and doesn't give kids that urge to do something that could, you know, ruin their lives in the end. And really bring awareness around 420 and how kids perceive 420. Even if kids who don't smoke marijuana are very aware of this day and what it means. And so we want to take back this day. And that's what Take Back 420 is. Take it back, give it back to the people, give it back to our youth. So we really urge everyone to get involved, for youth to come out. It's free. And so even if they come for an hour or two, however they can get there, we urge them to come out. And we're also asking schools and youth organizations to do a pledge. So you can pledge to be marijuana free, create a banner and have kids start signing it. Just to bring awareness around how important it is to stay free of marijuana and stay free of all substances and really create this environment where kids can feel good about saying that I don't smoke marijuana, that it's not acceptable to me and that I don't have to fall into the cracks of this this substance. So we're really excited about it. This is our first year. We hope to make this an annual event. And really just want to create a lot of awareness around it and give our youth, give this day back to our youth. So I'm glad you guys are excited about it. I hope you can come out. Please tell your friends and any colleagues about this event. And reach out to us, info@drugfreecharlotte.org, if you're interested in setting up a table or volunteering or providing a giveaway or donating some food to the event because we're taking donations also. We'll hope to see everyone there, and we're really excited. Thanks for bringing that up.
I appreciate you calling in again. My name is Melissa Energy Berry. Trinity Counseling Services is my business, and it also sponsors this show. This show is one that I've been doing for about 2 years now, and it's 30 minutes, and it's, like I said, the motto or the mission of Trinity is education, enrichment, and enlightenment. It educates individuals about substance abuse and the effects of it. The enrichment part of it is what gives value to individuals, and the enlightenment part of it is taking what you know, the knowledge that you have, and being able to provide it to others. And so this year, what I've started doing is inviting individuals to call in like yourself, and I greatly appreciate you taking your time out this morning to do that, because I spend a lot of time kind of sharing my own experiences as a treatment provider, but I wanted to open the door to other organizations in the community to share what they're doing, sort of as an effort for in other people to hear that, you know what, you're not alone in this work, in this work as a professional, and individuals that are in the community that may be listening is, well, you only know of a few organizations that maybe are working to help. But there are numerous organizations, resources, community groups, and things that people can become involved in or interact with in order to fight against addiction and alcoholism. And it doesn't have to end up as a statistic. It can end up a more positive ending to it. So I just want to say I appreciate you for calling in this morning, for answering the questions. And you had asked earlier, how can anyone archive this program? You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TrinityMe, or you can go to TrinityCounselingCharlotte.com, and there is a link there for Blog Talk Radio. You can click on it, and you can hear the different programs that are there. We have had Latrina Kelly James, the Executive Director of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Drug-Free Coalition, online. We thank you again. She gave the information, the info at Drug-Free Charlotte, right?
Yes, dot org. Yes.
org, and you can look it up. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa, very much for having me. I really appreciate you so much.
I thank you, and we just want to thank God for the opportunity to share this morning, and we just consider everyone to have a blessed rest of the day. Thank you.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.